Welcome to the Warmaster Podcast, episode 53, with Paul and Barry. And
hello,
Skype.
Listeners. How are you all doing?
Well, we're trying to use Skype again. We've had a couple of bad experiences, but the future's going to be a little bit different, so we need to get to grips with Skype.
Yeah, basically because my kid is due in 2 months' time, May 9th, and this might be the most practical way to record a short notice kind of thing.
Yeah, in the evening, because days tend to be full of kids.
Well, who knows? Like, in the future, I don't know the future, but this is a way. Yeah.
Yeah, and also it allows us to get some people on that we haven't been able to get on because we don't have the mechanism to make them physically present during the day on a Tuesday. Because people have jobs and lives.
Yep.
Exactly. So we've tried this a couple of times. Hopefully this time's going to work better. So Skype, it's the first real test of the name of the episode is First Real Stress Test for War Master Revolutions, because we've got a tournament this weekend, and we've got people bringing the cheese, maybe. Are they bringing the cheese?
Smell the cheese. It should be really good, actually. It's shaping up to be a good event. It's nice that it's sold out. And it'll be a good mixture of people there, I think, actually. Like, the tables are squared away beforehand. We can talk all about it in like the main topic. But it should be good.
If Janus was sure to not be playing, I'd tell you my list. But as there's still a chance,
the powder must remain dry. Someone, like, if it's an odd number, he's definitely playing. So, can't take that risk.
Well, that's it. You see, you should be ballsy and just say, this is what I'm going to take, and it's full of cheese. My list is as cheesy as you come.
I can tell you my list. We'll come onto the podcast, what we've been up to.
Great, right. So let's hit it. What has been happening in the... It's been 2 weeks of Paul Land, almost.
It has. I've had to get done I've set a target of getting the Empire painted, the army I wanted to use for the Saffron Warden tournament. And so I have been, like, really harsh on myself in getting that done. For example, I've lent my Alienware like laptop, away to Alex McGee, because I was like, if it's here, it's going to distract me.
And, you lent your baby away. You're...
I know. How nice is that? And basically, so because I said to him, because he's been like, wanting to get a laptop, and they are, very expensive things. He's getting like one of his IT technicians at school to like design a laptop, etc. And I was like, okay, fair enough. But I said, like, I have these 5 night shifts on this week, and I was like, if I'm not doing anything else, I should be painting, for this Empire list, and that is a distraction. If it's there, I'd use it. That's the thing. It's such a good game that it sucks time, and it's just like, I've been on it for 3 hours and I won't even realise. So, I was like, it's like a similar way when I borrowed the laptop originally off Janus, was because he needed to do work. my work is, I've set a target to get this Empire stuff painted, and if it's here, it won't happen. So
are you beating Janus yet? Is there any chinks in his armour yet?
On the game?
Yeah.
No, not yet. I mean, he's better at it than me, basically.
Just get good, Paul. Get good.
Well, I'm trying, but it is difficult. It's like, he seems to be able to... I mean, it's good that, because playing somebody better, like in any game system, you brings your own game up, like any sport does. And I was like, watching what he's done, I've learned a few tricks, like, off watching what he does. And I was like, hang on, I'm not controlling my stuff as well as I could be. Unless realistically I've got more men than him and my stuff's better quality, on the open game I'm not winning against him. But I did have this real cool like moment last time we played an online session. So he's the new Bretonians, which are new DLC, and I'm playing Empire. So our factions are actually trading with each other. We're being very friendly, like openly, and it's like, okay, all right, we'll play this game. See who betrays the other one first. Because I don't have to conquer him or anything. It's just about you have to get 60 settlements yourself, no matter where they're from. And his army goes into a lot of VC in Bretonnia. So, and the game like allows you to play, then me to play as his opponent, those computer armies. And the VC, the vampire counts in it, the vampire count characters are so hard that it's like literally I won two games just because my vampire, just you couldn't. I had the Red Duke, who's like a he's a Breton, basically a Bretonian vampire. Right. And he just won't die. Like, he's so hard that it's just like he's cutting his way through this army of mostly peasants. And it's just like, right,
oh, like, what a big man.
Basically, it's like in both games, I was like, okay, he's grinding me out here. He's going to like defeat the army. But I've still got this vampire who's like kicking ass. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, since I thought I'd lost the match, I was like, right, where's his lord, his lead knight? Hello.
Well, that was bollocks.
What happened there?
No idea, you just went.
So. No idea, you just went. Okay, is your stuff still recording, isn't it? It's still recording.
Yeah, so. Whenever we're talking, it's recording. I'll okay. have to edit it later.
Well, okay, so I'll restart that little bit of conversation again on after three.
You got all the way through your vampire,
I know where I was. Okay, so three, two, one. So basically, online, the Red Duke character cuts his way through his army, takes out the Bretonian's lead knight, and because they're peasants, they ain't got any leadership left, and the whole army turns and runs. So I win the fight. Literally, I win the fight, and the only thing that's left on my side was the Red Duke. And he's like, he's won. He's got no army. He's won himself.
Don't need an army. Yeah. He is an army.
And it was just fantastic. I was like, that's really characterful, because this vampire is just damn hard. And he put a hex on, because this is computer-controlled designed armies. I haven't been playing the faction. And he had a hex on for personal combat, where you hex the opponent's character and really messed them up. It was just like, and then he just cut the knight down like he was nothing. And then so then a couple of turns later, that same fight happens again. And exactly the same move happens by me. I'm like, this time I'm like, okay, so my Red Duke's coming for you. Like playing really arrogantly. And yeah, it worked lovely again. And again, this Red Duke just again cut his way twice through Janna's army and I won again.
Impressive.
Which is fun, yeah.
Okay. What about wargaming, Paul? Because that's computer gaming.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to quickly check out my diary for wargames. I don't think I've really got anything to say.
That's what you played. I saw you. I was laughing at you.
I played Rids at Marvel.
Oh, the week before! You haven't talked about the week before!
Don't talk about the week before, yeah.
Oh, I remember the week before.
So... last Wednesday I was at the gaming club and I played Marvel twice in that day. I played Eric during the day and then Reed in the evening at Marvel during the night, at the club, and that was a good laugh. Yeah.
And what did you play the Wednesday before that we haven't talked about?
The Wednesday before I played on the first, Oliver at 30K, yeah.
How did that go then?
Well, okay, so and I've also played Anthony since then. Okay, so basically, as you could have predicted, I'm guessing this 30K has reached a natural point in its kind of Cold War level status, where Oliver, who's a nice guy, but yeah, and he does, and it's, I don't think it was his intention to like outlist Cheese Build me, but basically he had down a very smaller size game of 30K. He had a nice flyer on the table as part of his list, which he's totally allowed to do. It's like, it's actually well costed, but he had a flyer and I just didn't have the right tools for it. So once he'd removed wasn't packing many heavy weapons. Once he'd removed them, I couldn't really do anything else. So I was like, after turn three, I said, well, the game's over now. Like, you've removed my ability to strike out at range and your stuff can move just as quick as mine. So you won't, if you don't, yeah, if you don't, I've pointed out to him like some simple tactics here. Just never let me get close. If I move forward, you move back. You know, like you can't not win this same game. So basically the game is done and I conceded on after turn three.
Okay. You had like a majority infantry.
Yeah,
army,
yeah.
Oliver had some guys with massive shields and a Vindicator and some flyer.
Yeah, his list didn't, like, comparing the two, mine was a lot more friendlier, a lot cheaper than his, but he had just a lot of vehicles. But to his credit, he was doing something that, this is inevitable of the game system, so he knows that the way my Ultrians like to play is like a lot of bombardments, so he made sure that I had no real targets to fire at it, because he kept everything in vehicles, and it's just not going to the nature, the way the bombardment rules are. I might do some damage to the vehicles, but I'm unlikely to do anything lasting. And that, yeah, it was a good counter tactic, basically. I was like, and it's but as I was saying to Oliver afterwards, don't like, because it's like yourself, Barry, you're a bit advocate of conceding when a game's basically finished, isn't it? You don't see
the point. Yeah,
you don't see the point of playing it through. And we were at that stage already, like halfway through the game. I was like, he's weighed me and found me wanting. Like, I've not measured up. And I'm happy to, like, say, you've won there. Like, there's no need for me to continue getting pummeled because I can't respond.
But it's not like War Machine where if you have a caster and the caster can assassinate, because that's what he does, you're always in the game as long as he's around.
Exactly. And that's to its credit, you know, before, like, I know it's recently getting a lot of bashing, but that is a very good point about, a very good thing about War Machine Hordes, isn't it? Is that you always have a boxer's, a striker's chance. You could always...
A puncher's chance.
You could always, like, right, fully load up and focus on my caster and just swing for the hills. And that's more the case now in the current third edition because of Mark III, because you can't protect casters and warlocks as well as you used to be able to.
No, exactly. Right.
Yeah, so anyway, and in 30, the point was, 30k doesn't have that. It's like, its range of options in each army is massive. It is really huge. You can build basically theme lists where you don't need infantry. Like, your tanks will be infantry, you know, for the tier list. And if you skew it hard one way, you can definitely be found wanting on the other side because your opponent doesn't have brought a knife to a gunfight, that kind of thing. Where a game system like that we know and love, like our Warmaster, where it has its core choices, you must have, doesn't have that issue. Like, I don't think you can skew a Warmaster list so badly that it makes it the game a non-event.
Well, we'll see at the weekend.
Well, we say this now, exactly right, because even a high elf army with an indefinite choice, no min maximums on silver helms, still has to have some core infantry in it. It can't just be knights. And even if it was, if the table has a lot of scenery, well, they ain't that good.
Be interested to see. The path to tournament play, you can't see the path for 30k from here to tournaments.
I'd have to have a much more all-rounded list. I'd have to have something that can deal with everything quite much better. Basically, I'd have to choose better options. You know, like, as in, like, the stuff I brought, I don't know, just was found lacking, really. Now, I've looked at it, and I'm like, this was the Ultramarine Army. They can get access to their own unique Terminator unit, which is where they're all packing Cyclone missile launchers on the top.
Oh,
it's like each Terminator is packing a heavy weapon on his, like, basically on his shoulders. And it's like, as well as what his armor
is. As a storm bolter and a power fist.
And some other special rules that go in as well. Now, that unit, when it's a full man, 10 man unit.
10?
Like, is 750 points. It's like, my God, that's like the price of two. It's that elite unit is the cost of more than two elite other units.
Wow.
But if you point, like a blunt instrument, if you point it at something, it should kill it. You know, like, it's a, you know, even if you. It can trying to think of potential net debuffs in the game, this unit should still wipe out what it shoots at because it's just packing enough raw firepower it can do it. So that might be a tactic, like something to try. Like, so I got a little conversion pack of these Cyclone from an alternative company to turn my Terminators into that unit just to try. But I mean, yeah, it was a, I'm guessing it was something that I thought this game system, this experience down this road was going to happen. It's a shame it's happened like already in March, but it doesn't. I mean, it's the thing is then you can just look at it this way. It's like, okay, yes, like that is what 30k is. It's not, as I said to Oliver, it's no, I'm not like, this isn't a negative against yourself, yo. It's like
list is better than mine.
Yeah, and on another day, like if the same matchup again, I'll be like, right, I need to do the limited heavy weapons I have, you know, because this is what I've chosen to bring. They need to do work. I need to do well early on for them to still be in the game.
Okay.
So it wasn't like it wasn't worth playing. It wasn't like that was always going to be a foregone conclusion. It's just, you know, he picked me apart basically. He like, you know, it's like he just addressed he picked the bit of the army he needed to attack and he did it. That's just the nature of what this game system is. And
okay. So do you want to talk about the game against Anthony, or are you happy not to talk about
Just very quickly, Anthony took a more, he wanted to play my Ultramarines, especially asked to, because Ultramarines were Space Wolves, and they're loyalists, so I was like, well, I can't use these. But he's like, no, I really wanted me to. That's the thing, because I've stuck to the flavor and the fluff, like, it's attracting games by itself, isn't it? It's like, because you people are like, oh, I really want to see the Ultramarines' unique stuff, style. I learned a few more of the core rules, like, of my own stuff, like, more properly how to play it, because which is good, for playing going forward with it. And he did beat me, but it was a much closer game. Like, he had a much fairer list on the table. It was fine. I mean, I'm not saying, like, oh, this game isn't worth playing. It's just that right now, I've had to be really harsh and switch all focus to Warmaster. So I haven't even, like, those add-on bits I just mentioned earlier, I haven't even taken them out of a packet yet. Yeah, because I don't, any hobby time has got to be towards Warmaster at the moment.
Okay, good. So is that Paul then done?
That is, aside then and now, like, aside from those two anomalies, I've been painting a lot of Warmaster. I'm even taking Warmaster stuff to work on these night shifts, because you get a half hour break and then an hour break later. So I'm actually been painting in my hour break at work, like in the staff room, which has gotten some interesting looks and comments from people.
Because
what the hell are you doing? Like, and it's like, because people,
what are you doing, nerd?
Yeah, exactly. It's like people just sit there and, like, look on their phone or, like, try to doze or something. And I'm just, like, at this. It was, like, at 4 a.m. this morning, I was at this table for an hour painting Empire Skirmishes. I came back on the floor and all the female nurses were all discussing, like the way they... We weren't that busy, so they're nattering the way they do. And it was about me painting models, yeah.
Being a nerd.
I was like, the matron asked me, like, what were you doing? And I was like, well, this is what I was doing. And I explained it to her. She's quite a young matron, but she's obviously never had brothers who were geeks or something. It was just like falling on deaf ears. I was like trying to explain what Warmaster was, and it's like none of it was registering on any level. Like, she couldn't understand it, even the beginning of how to understand it.
No. Just say toy soldiers, poo-poo, and that's about as far as they could understand.
Kind of, yeah.
Or want to understand.
I didn't mind. I mean, I'm well established enough at work anyway. I've always said to everybody, I'm a massive geek, I'm out of time. It's just like, it is dead time, like these night shifts. Like, if I doze, that's okay, but I'm just making myself even more tired for when I have to wake up. So I just crack on and paint. I mean, I went to Edinburgh at the weekend, last weekend, for my parents' like 70th. I painted all the way up there and I painted all the way back, like on the train.
A barrel of laughs.
Well, no, I mean, obviously I was interacting and I was like taking breaks and stuff. But on the way, good thing I did take the stuff though, because on the way up there, the train broke down. We were stuck on it for 4 extra hours. So, like, I was loving it. I mean, I was like, right, just settle in here and just crack on with all these Empire halberdiers I've got to do.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to get very... I mean, I know that you don't have to have stuff painted for the event, but I'm going to get... If I don't get it all done, I'm going to get very close. And everything I've been doing, I've been quite happy with the style, like the standard. I'm not compromising on standard, so...
I find just paying rids easier. Just pay rids.
Yeah, I mean stuff like...
It appears painted when needed.
Yeah. What I've got left to do is I've got these flagellants to do, working on the handgunners right now, and then a unit of knights, a unit of pistoliers, which is going to be the Kislev winged lancers, a unit of pistoliers, which is going to be the Kislev horse archers. That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Right. Top stuff. Top stuff. Right. So in Barry World, 2 weeks. We did have one last week. So... the first thing I did was I played Guild Ball against Dave the same day that you played your 30k game.
Yeah.
And Dave's a decent player. He's not like tier one player. He's like a good kind of club player. He absolutely ruined me, mate. He ruined me. I've never seen... I'm like, the Fish are supposed to be the most mobile team. supposedly. Yep. But it's a joke, mate. They got like lead weights on their feet. His captain was moving. Oh my god, it was moving like 16 inches, scoring, taking out one of my players, and then running away 14 inches. And you go like, oh my god,
which captain was this? Was this obvious? Oh,
Skillet or something, is it?
Yeah.
Scalpel, right, okay. I don't fucking know. It was horrific.
Horrific.
So I just about know what my stuff's supposed to do, but I'm in that really awkward position where I just don't know what anything else does on the opposition.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So you just like, you're constantly feeling like you're just getting sucker punched because you've got no idea what's coming, and you go like, oh my god, that was good.
Yeah.
And you've got like, fair play. It was good. Well done.
Like, set up trap, yeah. Like, getting hit by enemy's plays, yeah.
Yeah, but there was like, so like, I scored because that's what fish do. So hooray, I've scored. But then it was like, boom, I'm 4-0. Then he scores and then he disappears back. And the next turn, loads up the captain, comes in, scores, takes out a man, disappears. And next turn, loads up the captain, scores. And you go like, Jesus, I can't respond to this because there's, how do you respond to them moving so far and doing what they're doing and then running away?
Basically playing your game better than you can play, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, playing the game better than I can play. So, yeah, I mean, I played. It kind of made me 100% sure that when it comes to playing, like, the real tier one players, it's not worth me wasting one of my gaming evenings because I don't have enough gaming evenings.
Because yeah, like, it won't be, yeah.
Dan Hartwell, Tom Sims, Sherwin, you've just got 3 wins, mate. Aaron, 4 wins. That's 4. I've given away 4 wins now because I'm... It's just not worth me wasting an evening's entertainment on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sad. I mean, Sherwin won the recent Club Guild Ball tournament. So, yeah, I mean, he'll smash you, won't he? Like,
And all I'll learn is that I'm not very good. But I already know I'm not very good, so I don't need to learn that.
So what you're saying is the learning curve is too extreme for you to, like, be on for it at the moment. As in, like, to realistically... have a chance against like one of the better players.
Yeah, because well, it's to get
on that learning curve, you have to play a lot more games.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that like it's the type of game that rewards experience and play, which is good. There's no problem with that. But I can only generally afford to juggle a couple of games that I'm committing to, and it's not the kind of game you can just dip your toe in and hope. Like, I've built a really strong list. You know, I've net decked a list. List means nothing in this game. List, you can have the best list in the world, but if you don't know how to use it and you don't know what's coming at you, it means nothing. You just stood there with stuff like you've got your, what do you call it? Focus? What do you call it?
Momentum.
Influence.
Influence and momentum, yeah.
So you've got your influence on the wrong players all the time.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And that player kind of gets, I don't know, he gets knocked down or something, then he's not doing nothing.
He's not doing anything.
Yeah. So, and the game's very good, and it does reward good play, but maybe our meta is just very awkward, that we're in an incredibly strong meta.
Maybe it's just because there's a lot of better players, and there's not as many, like, more rounded, as in, like, lower-level players, mid-tier.
I've played quite a few games with Eric, and they're quite competitive. I've played with you, I've played with other people. But yeah, like playing against like top tier players is a bit of a brain ache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe Warmaster has a similar experience, I'm not sure, but I don't seem to feel like the person I'm playing never has a chance, if that makes sense.
No, I don't think I've ever had that really either. I mean, like our recent games against Phil, like, has shown how much better he's gotten. Like, you know, and There are obviously in Warmaster. There's some natural matchups where the lists and the tables is going to naturally favour one side because it's going well for you, like well for you. But I think Warmaster is a good level playing field for that.
Yeah, I agree. You play high elves and they'll look after you.
Yeah.
You don't have to do much. Just point them in the right direction.
Point them in the right direction. There we go.
So, that was a Guild Ball. What else have I been doing? Oh, I've been playing a bit of Star Wars Destiny. I like that a lot. I've been playing a bit of Magic as ever. I like that a lot. Played a cube draft last night. That's good fun. And then there was the big Privateer Press announcements.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear your opinions about this. Yeah.
I'm sure you would, sir, but I need to be at least mildly politically correct in this madness. So it appears that lots of companies, when they start, build processes that suit small companies. And then as they expand, they try to expand that infrastructure as the company gets to medium size, for example.
Yeah.
But that infrastructure doesn't suit medium-sized companies. It suits small-sized companies. And what they end up having to do is at some point bite the bullet and just say, look, this doesn't work anymore. Like, I knew there was a problem when I was at SmogCon, and there were 400 players there, but 120 of them were press gangers. Not all working.
Yeah, I mean, that's so far too many, like, staff, for want of a better word, isn't it?
Yeah, so maybe there were 30 press gangers working, but there were another 90 press gangers in attendance. I go, like, Jesus, a quarter of the entire playing nation at this event is press gangers.
Yeah, that's a raw fact, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so even though they're only getting pocket money for doing stuff, there's, like, a lot of pocket money that somebody's having to pay out.
Yeah, well, they're not getting full whack from them, are they? Like, they get discounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and the way I look at it is, I became a magic judge, which is way harder than becoming a press ganger. Like, yeah. It was ridiculously hard. I had to seriously study. It was parts of that magic exam that I did to be a judge were as hard as my degree. And that's not even a word of a fucking lie. So I qualified to be a magic judge just to find out that they'd stopped all the reward program.
Yeah.
So for the last 4 and a bit years, I've run events every Monday night, and I haven't earned anything, not a single thing, from Wizards of the Coast.
Quite right, too. Like, why should they reward you?
Yeah, exactly. So they don't reward you, and the reason they don't reward you is because they're getting sued because the volunteers are claiming that they're actually staff.
And they're not, yeah.
No, they are. The problem is that if the judges, and the magic judges, if the class lawsuit goes through, that means Wizards will be liable for actual physical pay and holiday pay and sick pay for thousands of judges, backdated.
Oh, that's going to ruin them then.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, and that's probably realistically why Privateer Press said, no, we can't have this.
Yeah, because they saw what's happening to Wizards of the Coast, yeah.
So how many hours did I do at SmogCon? Say I did 30 hours at SmogCon.
Yeah.
Well, 30 hours of
minimum wage.
Yeah, exactly. 30 hours of minimum wage is £200.
Yeah.
And what's happened in the magic world is that money has to come from the player base. Because Privateer Press can't pay me £200 for doing that weekend.
Yeah.
So the players have to front up enough money to cover the wages that they have to pay the judges.
Yeah.
So that's why magic events have gone from being like £20 to being £60, £70, £80.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, somebody's got to pay all right. These judges.
Because you've got to pay for the judges. You've got to pay for people's time. Yeah.
So this is what's going to happen in lots of games. Like, eventually Guild Ball will bite the bullet and say, look, we can't have this program either. Because if we end up having to pay you, like, proper money to run an 8-hour event, that's costing us, like, £60 to get you to run an event.
Yeah, there is enough. And there is enough money in the system to, like, support that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's what will happen. So, That was a bit of a kick in the stones for a lot of press gangers. I'm not overly worried personally because I'm relatively well connected. And if there are any big events going on and I'm not invited, then nobody's invited.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried. I don't take it personally. And yeah. I'll just find something else to do.
Yeah.
And also, they purged the forums, like, big time.
Mm.
Have you been into the PP forum?
No. I mean, I never really have. But, like, what do they do?
Never?
No, I mean, it was never my thing. It just seemed the way everybody else talked about them being so, this, they've seen how the rage going on here. I never felt interested to find out. I was like, always built my own lists.
Okay, right. So basically, I have said over the last year that there's been a lot of kind of whinge to win. So people have been just moaning and moaning and fucking moaning. So in the end, somebody has to do something to stop them moaning, whether it's rewrite Scorn or do what this, you know, like Una 2, you like, colour before she's even been released, or whatever it is, like whinge to win.
Yep.
So the way they've decided to deal with whinge to win is to close down everything that's not positive. So there are no dissenting voices now. There are no, like, this model's crap, you know, these rules are bent. It's all gone. It's gone.
Wow.
There's no faction forums. There's no press gang forums. There's no general discussion forums.
There's basically, like, no forum, is there? Like, it's only positive messages. It's not going to be it's not a forum then.
Yeah, imagine if you're a new player, there's like, if you're a new player, look at these. This is how you learn the game. If you've got a rules question, post here. If you've got a modelling question or painting, go here. Otherwise, go to social media and find your answer. It's like, because we don't want any of the toxic bile, mate. So
yeah,
go take your toxic bile elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, the Crix forum must have been pretty bad.
Well, they're all gone. There was no. It was like, I couldn't tell you. You can't look at them because they're gone. It was like GW when they purged specialist games. They just said, you know, we can't be arsed for this. I don't even know what the reason was. We can't be arsed for this, so we'll just turn it off. Bye.
So
lots of people have tried to resurrect the press gang. I mean, I'm not worried. I just, yeah, whatever. I'm not going to burst their gut. And lots of people are trying to create alternative forums, but...
I mean, that's the thing. That's the interesting thing about, like, companies and running events. Because, like, look at us, for example. We're running Warmaster events for a game system that's well dead, that we'd get nothing from GW4, yet we do it for the love of the game, don't we? And the, like, as in, for the, you know, there's no, like, physical reward. I mean, I don't want it to run an event to cost me money, but I'm happy, like, to, like, not to, and I'm happy to not earn anything either.
Yeah,
it's a weird one, isn't it? Because like,
well, that's how it should be. I once ran like an 18-player 4-week Warhammer Fantasy campaign. I didn't get anything for it. I just wanted to play fantasy, so I ran a campaign. You can't. That's what you do. You've run Necromunda. You've run. Yeah, people just run games they want to play. They don't run it because they get money for doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's why we're playing the Journeyman tonight. Because like,
on Wednesday tomorrow.
Oh yeah, it's tomorrow, not tonight. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow.
I'm on night shift, so sadly, I might nip down to pick up what Simon's done for me, but I can't. I can't obviously stay the play game.
Mm-hmm. Are you on for winning?
I know, it's a shame, and I enjoyed it. But I've got these night shifts, Barry. I can't, you know. I got so many night shifts that it was worth me swapping the only 2 days I had amongst all these nights for the rest of the month to swap them with people to get more night shifts.
Get more. Do all of them. Do like a month of night shift, and then you'd never do another one again.
I wish it worked like that, but it doesn't.
So the whole War Machine thing is interesting. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. What it will do is prevent net decking to a massive degree, because you can't go on there and say what's the most bent list, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
The place you find the list doesn't exist. You can find them in other places, but new players. Like, or players like me who are kind of casual, I just build the list I want to build. I don't give a shit what's good.
Yeah, that's actually going to be a good thing then, isn't it, for the game system in general, is that you'll have a lot more variation on the table because people won't be told what to use.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, you will still get tournament players and you'll get people who are hell-bent on playing the best list. They'll go and find the information, but for the casual, it won't be in your face like it is now.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Right. So I think that's it. That's all the talk of what we've been doing. We need to thank Mr. KR sponsorship.
Thank you very much, KR.
They're brilliant, aren't they, KR? I do love them. I do use them a lot in all manner of ways.
I'm not even saying it. I mean, like,
KR, but I think I might make a jingle for them one day. So we'll just have KR Multicase.
Make it quite cheesy. Like,
Better best.
We can talk about that off topic, but yeah, it'd be funny.
Okay. Right, good. Now, what's the next topic, Paulus?
Warmaster Rules Committee update. I've actually just been like collating my thoughts here on a piece of A4. About it.
Have you been prodding things, or have you been taking a back seat now you've been away and on nights?
Well, because the way I like to like. I might, because my focus has to be getting these Empire paintings.
Has to be. It's the most important thing in your life, Paul. Forget cleaning the sink.
Exactly.
Nobody cares about the sink.
The sink is dead to me until after this
event. You need the esteem of those other nerds looking at your stuff with envy.
Well, they won't be that, but, you know, I just want to get it done. Like, I'm very much a target-driven, orientated guy, so that is the target at the moment. Anyway, what I'm saying
is, apart from cleaning sink targets.
So I pushed on the rules committee agenda before going to Edinburgh, and it's due another my kind of style of session where I'll go through everything and like ask some obvious questions and pushing things forward, because currently right now we have had more stuff approved.
Yeah,
I have 8 army lists. I've got it all. I've just gone through it all now.
8
8 army lists approved. Then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that have votes currently going for approval. And then that leaves us with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 army lists which don't have an approval vote currently live.
Hmm. And some of them will take longer than others, as I keep saying.
Of course. But my aim at the moment is to focus on that armies with no votes currently. If I get it down to what I can realistically put up forward, then that we're in a better place, because then we can then once you've squared those away, you can then focus more on trying to batter through each one individually. I'll read them out to you if you like. The approved eight,
eight for eight.
Dwarf, High Elf Tournament, Chaos, Dark Elf, Vampire Counts, Skaven, Lizardmen, and Orcs. All through.
Well done, them.
The current armies with current votes on, so they're still being decided, in yes or no, is Witch Hunters, Dogs of War, Araby, Bretonians, they're both tournament lists, Kislev Tournament, Tomb Kings, and Empire. The only one which is any dissenting opinion is Witch Hunters, isn't it, really, with them, with those ones?
We could talk about that, I don't mind. Yeah. But I personally,
the vote at the moment, I think it's like 5-1. I am the one against it. Because
you are the one.
I am the one, just because I feel that it's a theme, not a faction.
Yeah, you didn't bother reading any of my posts. You just said, I don't care. I go with my gut, mate. You keep your science and empirical evidence. I just go with the gut.
Yeah. I mean, like every other army list there,
Norse
is a race, and which
one's race? The race of Norse.
Well, yeah, but they are a race of people. They're humans, but they are definitely
Araby. Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely.
I remember the Araby army book well. I remember flicking through that constantly in the evenings.
Anyway, it doesn't. I mean, because it's not like I'm going to get bent out of shape about it, but that is my two cents on the matter. If Dwarf Younger Holds isn't going to get approved, I wouldn't have Witch Hunters either for the same reason.
Albion.
Okay, all right. Well, you can use examples.
I'm going to keep going, man.
But it doesn't matter, does it? Because it looks like I'm the only one who thinks good. That. So it'll be approved.
That's the power of negotiation. I was I came in really strong and said, look, this is horse poo, mate. We're getting rid of this one.
We've done the thing that had to happen, which was to get rid of their own personal magic items. So it doesn't really bother me. It's just, it's fine. I mean, what it does mean in my head, it kind of leaves the door open in future years to create other theme lists. Ooh.
Yeah, you dropped out a bit. Like, I'd like to see one day Cafe and Nippon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you still here, Paul? Yeah. Good. Yeah. Right. So, what were the ones that have gone through the change log? Because we've done the
change log.
Remember where we were up to?
Yeah. I'll just pull that up. 1 second.
I don't think there's much. I think it's only that Yosin,
not since we've last spoke on air. Here's the voting boards, and the change log is here. So I think we have had come in. The Kislev have a Yoshin standardization, which is a mount for them to make it the right pointed cost for it.
So it's just a carnosaur or... Yeah,
basically.
Or an elephant or whatever.
Yeah. Is that the only one that's changed? Empire Handgunners upgraded to Crossbowmen. That's gone in. 8-0.
That's a fantastic rule. I'd like to see a bit more of that.
Yeah, so basically, that kind of stuff. It allows you to take 1 per 1,000. You can upgrade a unit of Crossbowmen to Handgunners for 10 points, isn't it? The difference in points. Which is fair enough. Yeah, and so in my army list that I'm bringing on Saturday... has this, but I've paid the points for them to be handgunners, but I'll use them as crossbowmen, just because it's a rule change that is forthcoming, I don't mind playing 20 points down, it doesn't bother me.
Just stick it to spell scroll in, mate.
No, I don't care.
I'm not playing to win, I'm just playing for fun.
We'll come on to the tournament, our expectations. Dogs of War, their Tusker has gone to a straight swap over, instead of that, it's that. 7-1 that's been voted in, which is quite cool.
And then we've got the old War Wagon Shenanigans.
And the War Wagon Shenanigans, which has had a whole bunch of text revised into more whole bunch of text.
There's still a whole lot of text.
At least it's been looked at, which is Fair enough.
And I think that we may not have talked about the witch hunter special items.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I think that's where we're at to. And the last one is the witch hunters, quite simply, had unique magic items. They shouldn't have had them, so they've had them removed. And
well, it didn't. That was one of the things that people really said, why have these got their own magic items? Nobody else has got their own magic
items.
Nobody
else. So 23 army lists we have on the go. Nobody else has unique magic items. Why do they have unique magic items? They don't have any more, which is fine. I mean, which is the only real issue about the witch hunters list. In terms of, like, it wasn't too good or anything. It's just like, why does it have these unique things? It doesn't now. So you can, yeah, I suppose, really, it doesn't matter. Like, people can play the list if they want because it's just a lot of flagellant-style empire. Yeah.
Yeah. And we got one more vote to talk about. That has finished, I think. Oh, no, it doesn't. It finishes tomorrow.
Okay.
Do you know what that vote is?
I can't think of it off the top of my head, but go on, for the sake of radio, say it.
It's a special vote to get a new member onto the board.
Ah, yes, which we changed. Like, is that means all votes will be a week now? Or
if you want, well, the expulsion votes can't be a week, because that one doesn't make any sense. But realistically, if you're not logging on once a week, then what are you doing on this committee, mate? Because there's a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of posts get done in a week. Yeah. And if you can't even log in once a week, then I'm not sure I'm that worried about whether you vote or not.
Sadly.
Sorry to sound like a dictator and stuff, but yeah, so we need more manpower. Mm-hmm. So there's hopefully we've got an invite out to somebody called Patrick in Germany. Yep. We also invited Janners. I'd have had Janners on from the beginning, but the first choice, I didn't want to overload it with the UK.
Yeah.
So my first choice was Jim, and then Jim couldn't do it. So my second choice was you, and then you did it. Hooray. And then I think we can't really... And then Alice wanted Simon on board, so we've already got three from the UK.
Yeah, I'm fair to say I'm probably the most controversial member, voting, but at least I'll push it forward. Like, I think if I wasn't here, this whole process would be a lot further behind.
I'm not arguing. So Alex is hopefully going to come on board, and he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's agreed to. So, yeah.
And the vote's looking pretty good at the moment, 7-0 in favour. So hopefully he'll come in and bring some of his expertise around things like witch hunters. He's used those. Norse.
Yep.
They need a little bit of work, but he's there to help with that. And so it'd be fantastic to get him on board. He's the best player that I'm aware of in the UK. There may be other players that are as good as him or better, but he's been playing for a hell of a long time.
Yeah.
And he's not very easy to beat.
So. No, well, none of us have managed it. He's won.
I've beaten him, goddamn you!
Yeah, but like when it mattered, like
I've beaten him.
Our own tournament results is like he's 3-3.
Oh yeah, you won the tournament. Yeah, fair dinkum. But, I've beaten him once. I mean, it took me using high elf against goblins.
I've never beaten him in any method. Like I've even doubles games, I've never beaten him.
I do remember the game where me and you were playing against him and Jim, and we both took Jim out really early, and then Alex beat us both with half an army. And they were ogres! God damn them, ogres!
You first, now you. Right, done.
God damn him. So hopefully we'll have Janus on board, and we did shortcut the... Because, I mean, it's a relatively new thing, this committee, so sometimes we may have to shortcut things to get things moving. So,
of course, yeah.
We could wait 30 days to get Janos on board, but by the time he comes on board, half the things we want him to look at will have already bloody finished.
Yeah, exactly.
So we need him on board a bit quicker than that. And if anybody else wants to come on board, and you think you know your onions, then get in touch and we'll see if we can get you on board.
Would that put the total amount of members back to 13, would it, or more? Is that putting
14, but that's not active members.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the active members.
I think the other thing, like, is in big thing with rules committee. We can talk about is the army selector. Can we mention that?
I don't know. I mean, there was just that one message from Dave.
It was really positive message.
Oh, fantastic message. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Dave's talking about maybe being able to incorporate the new revolution into the War Master army selector, which is like the dream. Yeah.
The standard we want to achieve, and there's work going on in the forum to, like, give him the information, isn't there? Is that what's happening on it?
I think Ollie's heading that up at the moment. So thanks for all your efforts, Ollie.
Yeah.
One thing I will say is that, going back to what we said about Privateer Press and Magic Judges and stuff, people doing stuff just for the sake of being a nice person and wanting the game to succeed.
Yeah.
Dave Does it even have a donate button on that bloody page? I use it like most days.
I mean, I'd happily donate him money, yeah.
Put a little PayPal donation button at the top, Dave, and let me at least throw you a few quid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it wouldn't... Yeah, exactly. Because other army selectors have the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love it. He's one of my wargaming heroes. When I found that page, it was like, whoa, look at this. Because I remember back in the day, you were trying to convince me to use that stupid army builder.
But the day I found out it had inaccuracies, it was like, well, I can't use it then. Yeah, like I didn't know that at the time. I hadn't realised.
Not like you. Not like you. Go off half cocked.
Nonsense.
Nonsense. Nonsense. You've got tremendous, tremendous reserve.
Just tremendous.
In every way, tremendous. Okay, so the War Master Rules Committee is ticking along nicely. We've taken on the experimental armies a little bit earlier than I anticipated, and it has diverted resources away from the main task, which in my mind was just get the first 19 done.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. I mean, but the end product we want, they had to be addressed, and
the end goal will be the same. Hopefully, at some point. Sooner rather than later, in 2017, there'll be a set of maybe 23 army lists that have at least been looked at.
There are 20, yeah, that is what we're going with. And I think, I say, like, the only one that was risking not having any appearance at all was Witch Hunters, and that I'm the only one to dissent against it. So they're definitely going to be there. So, yes, we're going to have a game system with 23 approved army lists in it at some point, which is, and if we have an online army builder as well, that's even more fantastic. I mean, that's 23 armies, Barry, is massive range of selection.
Yeah, and that's not where it's going to end, because there are a couple more armies we need to get in as well.
Exactly. I mean, and in a game system where dwarves, for example, play incredibly differently from Bretonians, for example. I mean, they are 23 quite diverse army lists in there. Some are similar to others, but others are very different from each other.
And a final thing, just to explain what Dave requested, he asked for some help around the medieval and ancients list building.
Yeah.
And that's what all he's working on. He's like creating data files for Dave to be able to import into the War Master army selector.
Exactly. I mean, fantastic. Whatever helps him. Whatever he needs, like, to make it, you know, help him to do that is fun. Because, yeah, he's doing it for nothing, in his own time. So whatever makes that process easier,
Good man. Right, God, crikey, we've eaten up quite a lot of time and not even on the main topic yet.
Let's go, main topic.
Triwiz build-up, expectations and stress tests. So the whole episode is around the fact that this is the first time that Revolutions will have been used in a tournament that we've run or been involved in, isn't it? Was the first one a revolution of the weekend?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean,
the January one wasn't a revolution.
No, it wasn't. I was tempted with it, but no, it just used the army. It just used the scenarios. So yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it all goes down. It's a sold out event, which they've never had before.
Yeah.
Sign of the times. 18 players strong.
Jim the Sage on board for rules lawyering.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And go, basically. I'm bringing Empire. So expectations for me, Empire. I've been grudged to play Steve in the first round.
Dark Elves or something?
Dark Elves, yeah.
No,
I think he's using Dwarves. Okay. So that's going to be difficult, but I'm going to really enjoy the game. So,
Battle of the Cannon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that'll set the pace for the whole tournament for me, basically. So I'm playing one of the best players, a potential finalist, round one. Like, yeah, it's like in tennis. Oh, what have you got? You've got Federer. Oh, fantastic. If I beat him, then I'm well. Bring it on. Then I like the next games will be like right. I can go all the way here. But if I lose to him, which is fairly likely, then I'll be just enjoying the day for the sake of it. You know, playing War Master with an army I wanted to use on tables are really nice. That'll be nice.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be grudging Jim if Alex is not available. If Alex is available, I'll grudge him. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to beat the man to be the man.
Yep. It'll be interesting because there's so many of us going down from our club. Me and you, Sherman and Dan, Phil and Nick. It'll be really interesting to see also how they're doing as well. I mean, have you seen Sherwin's stuff in the flesh, Barry? Sherwin's Albion?
No, I've seen pictures of it. Emmy Sherwin's a very talented painter, so I'm sure it's going to look lovely.
Yeah, like he was playing Nick last Wednesday at the club, and yeah, his army looks fantastic. I mean, I'm really hoping actually I'd love to play, you know, like one of those guys in one of the rounds randomly, like as in one I'm drawn against, because I'd love to play Sherwin before going, but I don't think I'm going to find the time, sadly, but because I'm on these knights. But yeah, it'd be great to face off against him in the tournament, actually.
Okay, good. So we got eight. Did you say six or eight going from Chelmsford?
Six, if my count's right. Me six. And you, Sherwin and Dan, Phil and Nick.
Okay, so that's probably more than one car, which is.
Well, yeah,
we need to sort that out at some point.
Obviously, we're going to want to get something to eat afterwards. So. Yeah, that's a topic still, the debate still to have amongst us. It's just like going back and forth. What do we do? Yeah.
Okay. Well, we should talk a little bit about the Triwiz rule set, because it's very different to the Paul Winter Roller 2017 rule set.
Yeah.
So this is like a gentleman's, a leisurely day out, I'd describe it.
Yeah, that's how you should look at it.
That's what I wanted to do. Death clock. None of that shenanigans.
Stuff going on in the background about making sure it runs as smoothly as it can run.
So I really liked it. I learned, because I think apart from the doubles, I'm not sure. I think I played in the doubles, but I didn't play in the singles, did I? The first one you went to.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot in the singles where I lost in the final to Bretonian. So hopefully I'll be taking that forward with me, because, it's a different setup. So... there's just a round time. There's no individual death clocks. There's no scenarios. We are using Revolution, so that'll bring its own changes.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how infantry perform and how... they're using all the optional rules, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And that, including the... like, because there were some that were suggested, like, yeah, Alice did really recent first up with rules changes. That's why I'm using Empire, because the steam tank's legit. Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to bring the new improved steam tank?
Yes, yeah, because that was the deal breaker. That's why I'm not taking.
But it's not been published, has it?
Well, no, that's the thing. It's like, but the information sent out by Jim about the here's the list of all the differences, like summarised from Warmaster to Warmaster, Revolution, and it included, if you remember, in that edition of Warmaster Revolution, Alice had suggested like the steam tank could have a rule, friendly pay had this changed.
And the Hellblaster.
Yeah, and the Hellblaster. And it was there. So I was like, I checked with Jim. And I was like, Jim, is that the case? And
it's right, like, in the optional rules at the end of Revolution. Yeah. Right, I understand.
Yeah. So I was like, boom. Then I use Empire. Yeah.
Boom.
Because the other restrictions, like, I'm putting in myself anyway. Like, the moment I could have my skirmishes with flagellants, but I'm not going to because that's not going to be the future. So, it'd be really interesting to play games against... because we know the current state of where the army lists are going. It'll be interesting playing against games against army lists which are having rules changes coming in. If Steve's using dwarves, for example, I'll tell him, for this game, your gyrocopters have a 360 line of sight. Yeah, because that is a rule change that has coming in. Play it like that. Take that.
It's only marginal. I don't think it's...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just saying, just if he has a gyrocopter, I'm saying that has a 360 line of sight for this game. There's no negative to that. Like, so take the positive. And I'll be playing with the Empire Army list that it will be, and enforcing these my own fluff changes on it, the way the skirmishes and flagellants thing. Exactly.
So example of the optional rules that are going in, there's the flies only charge 60. That's a big one.
Yeah, big one.
Mm-hmm. That's a big one. We've got your plus one for your leadership role for the first order in the first turn of the game.
That is going to be the most forgotten thing, but yes, that is the rule.
the optional rule is the half move if you fail your first order.
Again, people will forget to do that, and depending on how my game's going, whether I remind my opponent...
Shut up, you cheeseburger! So, what other rules are in there? The optionals?
The optionals? Hang on, I'll pull it.
Is something to do with hills?
I save the document. I will just bring it up to you. One second.
Okay, well, Paul's bibbling there. Mm-hmm. About how he can be so sporty 1 minute, and then if I'm losing, I'm not going to tell you anything, mate. I'm just going to.
What are you talking about?
Pretend it's like I
saw it, isn't it?
Mm. There's a brilliant thing in Magic, right? Both people are responsible for the game state. So mm-hmm. if it's something that has to happen, and you yeah. know it has to happen, and you don't enforce it on your opponent, then you both could potentially get disqualified. You've both got to maintain a clean game.
Okay. Is it that one?
It wouldn't happen in that, because you could choose to move nothing, couldn't you? Your half move was nothing, mate. I just didn't remind you moved nothing.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, okay. I can't. Oh, maybe I didn't save it. Okay, we'll just have to remember it ourselves.
I've remembered as much as I can remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I feel a bit bad for not telling you my army list in advance. I should be able to just man up. But I need every edge I can get against that goddamn Janus. So I'll tell you next week what it was, and I'll tell you how it went. Or there'll be updates on Facebook, no doubt, if I can get around to it. And we'll try and record during the day and all that other stuff that
it'd be nice to record, like, afterwards down the curry house as well.
Down the curry shop.
Mm-hmm.
Although the table we have in the corner only fits maybe 5 or 6, and we might have too many bodies. We might have to get a bigger table in main area.
Not a bad thing, is it? Like, it's not as if the curry house couldn't accommodate us. So
I'm just not sure. The acoustics in our little booth were quite nice, but all you could hear is a plingy plang of the music.
Yep. Okay, I pulled up the rules changes. I found it.
Seamless.
So, orders, first turn and failed orders, charges, the charge arcs, the line of sight, the pin targets rule for 2 rounds of combat, the enveloping charge and the supporting charge rules, it's all there. The combat, the 2 rounds, the ongoing combat, the last ditch dice, the fight to front, the support rule, as supporting pursuit, pursuit from rear and flank, falling back, advances, and the reform. Which you don't get a reform after a combat engagement.
That's a big one. I don't think we focused on how big that really is.
Yeah, totally. But it's.
Well, I mean, you can't, even if you win, you can't come forward. Yeah. So it's not like you'll be able to.
And at the end of the turn, there's no reforming.
But if you're pushed back and then they can move a long way to one side, either left or right, then
might be able to pull up a flank onto you.
I think you might get exposed there a little bit. But
we'll see. We'll see how it has to be a big move, basically.
Well, it doesn't, does it? Because you can flip. I don't want to give away all the tactics.
I mean, but if you're flying,
if you want to bring the cheese, there's plenty of cheese to be had, sir.
So the charges and the home backs. The end of the game, the half units rule for breakpoints. The scenery has like just detail on some roads, the broken ground, and the partially defended. And this was in unit-specific rules. It was Empire Steam Tank, Empire Volley Gun, and Bretonian Grail Reliquary.
What was the rule on the Reliquary? Is that just uplifted points?
Cannot be taken in games under 2,000 points, which these games are 2,000 points, so it's like,
elite.
It's nothing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't do anything? Okay.
That doesn't, literally does nothing for this tournament.
Right, good. I think we've done almost an hour now. Strange that the main topic didn't really appear to be much of a main topic at all.
Well, I mean, okay, what expectations? Like, how well do you think you're going to do, Barry?
Well, I lost in the final last time, so let's try and do one better than that.
Okay.
But if I don't, then I don't.
Yeah.
The previous one.
With the nature of it being a 3-round event, I'll probably win one and lose two. But equally, if I do well, I'll win two and lose one. That's what I think is going to happen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Set your sights high, Paul.
Well, I'm not using high elves, am I? So I'm not using like the best army I could.
You've got high elves as well. You've got them now.
As I mentioned them, those great eagles, the alternative great eagle models. Somebody might have seen this on what I've done on Facebook, but the latest AOS release, Age of Sigmar release, has these eagles in it, and they are perfectly scaled to Warmaster. And
how much did they cost you, just out of interest?
So the box set of these Age of Sigmar, like 3 Space Marines.
With the bolt guns?
With the heavy bolters, and 3 eagles, was £20. So that times by 2. For the 2 units. I've eBayed, and it's going to sell quite well, actually. the Space Marines from it.
You don't need the Eagles then, do you not?
For I've the kept Space the Eagles, Marines? Yeah. No.
No, I mean, in the unit.
They're separate. In that AUS, they're separate units. It's a box set with two units in it.
Right. A unit of Eagles and a unit of heavy bolters.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I looked at that and I was like, oh, they're totally legit, likely different. And it's on eBay right now. It's got like 25 watches on it and it's like going for a fair amount of money. I mean, obviously...
As long as it goes for more than half what you paid, it doesn't really matter then.
Well, exactly. And so that'll go off to an eBay, and I've already mailed off to Poland the Eagles units to get done in the same style as the High Elf ones. And I've eBayed those two Eagle units I have now, which I don't need.
Well, they're nice. They're nicely based. They should sell well.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, they're on eBay right now. Yeah, in fact, okay. I've got a lot of stuff on eBay at the moment. Yeah,
say wings optional. Yeah, with the old ones, because they just I don't know how you used to keep them on.
I mean, comparing the two models to compare is no comparison. It's like because the new ones, like these, as in they're not for the get that right game system, but there's just modern GW stuff. Barry is so good. Like the mold lines, like the way the models fit together, it hides the joins, and they're just so dynamic that they're like, there's no comparison between the two. Like, is in terms of light and dark, it's like this is so much better than the classic back in the day, like 15 years ago sculpt.
Excellent.
And plus, being plastic, they're so much, they break a lot less. They won't, their wings won't come off.
Well, that is a bonus. I'm not going to argue about that one. So at Blackgate, I've been working my trolleys off still. So, we should be shipping out in April. That's about it. To be honest, you know what they say, don't. If it's something you love, don't make it your job.
Yeah, which you've done.
Yeah, a little bit. It's wearing on me a little bit. I feel like if I close my eyes, all I see is 10 mil fucking miniatures. If it's not... making them, it's looking on the bloody forums, the rules committee forum, or anyway.
Are you going to have them to fit into the time frame? Are you going to?
Yeah. We're almost there. The cannoneers are done. I've got a couple of three molds left to do out of 15, and
fantastic.
About 60% of the production's done. So of the actual casting. So yeah, it's looking good. Looking good. Yeah, so good. I won't talk about it too much because, I've worn me out. I need a holiday when I finished it, for sure. I've pushed my equipment to the very limits. I don't think, if I'm doing another Kickstarter with this many units, I don't think I'll be doing it this way. Okay, so contact details. We have Facebook and we have the warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com. Email address if you want to get in touch with us.
Yep.
And I think that is us. That is episode 53 of Warmaster Podcast.
Yeah, it feels good. It'll be, hopefully one of us takes away a prize, or at least one of us is in the question of who wins the tournament, because there's going to be quite a few people who could potentially win it after round two. They'll be fighting it out. So it'd be lovely to have one or both of us in that question. But we'll see. I think
it depends how the tiebreakers work. They didn't work particularly well last time, I don't think. I think Jim had to fudge it a little bit in the final. So
exactly. I think you're far more likely to be in the final than me, because I'm not taking I'm not taking the best army I could, and I've been grudged against probably a potential finalist in round one anyway. So
you got to beat the man to be the man, Paul.
Exactly. And I'm going to have a really good game, so I don't mind too much. But I'm being honest in how where I'm going to place.
Just deal with those cannons before the cannons deal with you.
I have played as Empire against Dwarves, and it'll be who can deal with the other one's cannons first, and how can they deal with them? Like, so it's I imagine that's how the game's going to go down. It'll be like, right, but at least if I give him rubbish stuff to shoot and I can shoot his better things every turn, I'll probably end up all right,
In my mind's eye, I can see him blinkering his cannons to aim at your steam tank and just vaporizing
them. Ah, no!
Oh, my beautiful steam tank!
I think that isn't going to be the steam tank's game. I'll probably hide it.
Brave steam tank hiding behind the woods.
But no, it'll be like, he hasn't got any cavalry for us to break upon. It is the perfect thing for him to shoot with steam tank, with cannons. I think I'll just have to hide this unit for like the whole game. Save its points. And I'll give him flagellants to shoot at instead.
Okay. They won't last long.
No, but they'll last just as long as anything else. And
yeah, that's true. So hopefully this Skype experience works well. And if it does, then we'll be able to interview people from far and wide in episodes going forward.
Please forgive us, listeners, if the quality isn't as strong as you might have listened to before, because we're not face-to-face. But necessity is driving us to do this. So
mother of invention and all that.
Yeah, yeah. And we can still, I mean, for considering it's a free podcast, I wouldn't.
You always say this.
I've listened to some really bad recordings on podcasts, which are like, accept a minimal fee. And I'm like, that wasn't worth anything. That was awful. Like, this is free. So, free. There you
go. I'm using a headset with a mic. I think Paul's using his laptop.
I'm in a totally quiet house for now.
So if you hear any whirring of fans and stuff, that's probably Paul, but we'll find out later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right, so that was Warmest Up, because episode 53, the Tri-Wiz stress test build-up.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week with the outcome of the Tri-Wiz, and hopefully if we can be more flexible and it only takes an hour to record rather than me going to Paul's, playing a game, and spending
five hours.
Yeah,
like, I mean, this method, like, should allow us to get something out a lot easier every time, because it's only takes as long as it takes to press the button and speak about it.
Yeah, okay. So, that was that. Have a good week.
Yeah, have a good week. Mm.